In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, "I'm not going to get involved in those things," what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, it sounds like old news to us here in the United States, but it is not old news by a long shot. Priestly abuse scandals was swept through the United States with regard to the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, 7 years ago now, I believe, if memory serves. Now in Germany, sex abuse scandals are all in the news, and it's made especially poignant because the current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church is a native German, Pope Benedict XVI. We're going to be talking about the sex abuse scandal in the Roman Catholic Church in Germany. Dr. James Hitchcock will join us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, March the 15th. After our short conversation with Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University, Pastor Clint Poppy will join us. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We will remember the life and the recent death of the first Lutheran pastor in Haiti. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us to round off this first hour, teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about Jesus' anointing before his suffering and his crucifixion. Robert Spencer will join us to talk about the arrest of Jihad Jane. That's what they're calling her, a genuine terrorist, not only in terms of the money that she funneled, but also in terms of her associations and her plans, recently arrested. And then to round off this day's Issues Etc., Dr. Scott Murray will be our guest. We'll talk about a radio and TV campaign launched by the Catholic Archdiocese of Boston, trying to bring Catholics back to the sacrament of confession. We'll compare and contrast a little bit of the Catholic view of confession with the Lutheran view as well in that last half hour of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us. We'll get your questions and comments here in the studio at issuesetc. Dr. James Hitchcock is professor of history at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, welcome back.
Thank you.
How close to home does this hit for Pope Benedict XVI?
Well, it's a breaking story right now, and we don't know for sure, but of course it's not, whatever you want to say, it's not positive. As far as we know at the present moment, when he was the Archbishop of Munich, he approved a priest from another diocese coming into Munich for therapy, and that priest was living at a rectory in a parish. It's not clear what, if anything, he did in the parish. Then later he was reassigned to another position. Now, the former vicar general of the Archdiocese of Munich, who would have served under Cardinal Ratzinger, said that he, the vicar general, was responsible for the reassignment of the priest, but not the cardinal. But apparently Cardinal Ratzinger knew who the priest was when he accepted him to come into the diocese.
Has Pope Benedict's brother been implicated in the sex scandal in Germany?
Well, not that I've heard of. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't.
It's a breaking story, and I haven't really heard that. That would be quite shocking if that were true.
Can you explain?
He is still a priest of the Archdiocese.
Can you explain the rationale, if you will, whether it was the same kind of scandals taking place about 7 years ago here or now in Germany? What is the rationale for kind of what we kind of learned was standard operating procedure in some cases, moving priests, isolating them, or moving them from one diocese to another?
This seems to be hitting later in Europe. When this big scandal broke in the U.S., which I believe was 2002, we heard stories from Europe that they're kind of scratching their heads, saying, what's this all about? We don't understand this. It seems as though now it's beginning to break belatedly in Europe. The reason for that, I really don't know. Of course, what is reflected in this report so far is that what the church leaders were doing continuously around that time, putting their faith in psychotherapy, so that when some priest was accused of this, it was treated as, well, if we send him in for counseling or psychotherapy, we'll help him overcome that. We now know, I think, that that doesn't work in a lot of cases. It's somewhat ironic in a way because the church had always been rather resistant to psychotherapy, seeing it as a kind of a detraction from the notion of good and evil. But they kind of belatedly came down to the point of accepting psychotherapy, and now in retrospect, I think that was probably a bad idea in a lot of cases.
What is the scope of the scandal? As you said, this is a breaking story, but what is the scope as far as we can tell?
I'm sorry?
What's the scope of the scandal as far as we can tell in Germany?
Well, I'm not sure. As I say, it's still breaking. I've heard that quite a few accusations have come forward now recently in various parts of Germany. And why now, after all this time, is anybody's guess. I don't know whether there was anything in particular that triggered it off. But it looks like it's going to have some fairly widespread connotation.
Always the association is made with the discipline of celibacy for Roman Catholic priests, and
right,
it seems kind of a simple line from A to B for people to say, well, if they weren't required, so to speak, to be celibate, then they wouldn't suffer from these kind of problems. Your thoughts
right
there?
Well, I'm not an expert on the psychology of celibacy, but just using common sense, if a priest is chafing against the discipline of celibacy, one can see why he might be having an affair with the lady in the parish, but why he would, if he's yearning for a woman, he would turn his attentions to an adolescent boy doesn't really, to me, make very much sense. I think that the root of it is very much the homosexual inclination of some priests, and that was what really was behind it, and that's really kind of irrelevant to celibacy.
Well, in that vein, I remember when the scandal first broke in the U.S., you told us that the sex abuse issue in the Roman Catholic Church is being misreported. You said that the problem is one with homosexuality, not with celibacy per se.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems to me it's at best a speculative leap to say you're not allowed to marry a woman, so you're going to turn your attentions to an adolescent boy. Most people, I think, can see the illogic of that. Now, of course, sexuality can become somewhat twisted and strange. But, I mean, we know there are priests who have carried on affairs with women, who have left the priesthood and gotten married. So the idea that the resolution for celibacy is an adolescent male seems to me to be somewhat absurd.
Also, the press usually reports this as pedophilia.
Right.
What's your reaction?
Well, I guess technically speaking, that applies to a child under the age of I don't know what, whereas it seems as though most often it's an adolescent. And I don't know whether there's a special term for that or whether there should be, but it isn't actually usually children.
When the story broke in the U.S., I think Pope John Paul II was pope, and some interpreted his reaction as rather quiet to the scandal. How do you expect Pope Benedict XVI to react, especially given the fact that this is in Europe and then also
right
in his home country?
Well, he has on a number of occasions expressed great anguish and concern that this has happened and that it was ignored for so long. In the case of John Paul II, it is said that both the Nazis and the communists in Poland and in Germany a favorite way of attempting to discredit priests was to accuse them of various kinds of immorality, and that the Pope John Paul II became sort of inured to those accusations, thinking that they were that there was a hidden agenda. I don't know whether that's true or not, but Pope Benedict has been much more outspoken on the issue than his predecessor was, and I would think therefore that this must be a matter of a particular anguish for him.
Do you
and to think that he, in retrospect, that he didn't really do the right thing, although he wasn't aware of it at the time.
Do you expect him to speak publicly on the issue in the near future?
I would think in some form or another. There have been certain statements issued from the Vatican, not directly by the Pope himself, but I think he's a pretty outspoken person, and I would think that he will speak publicly in his own voice before very long. Probably he, like the rest of us, is kind of waiting to see how the whole story is going to turn out.
How would you characterize, with about a minute here, Dr. Hitchcock, how would you characterize what Benedict has had to say about not this particular scandal, but the scandal in general so far? 1 minute.
Well, he has apologized to some of the people who were victims. He has received them in audiences. These have been rather emotional encounters, and he has expressed remorse that these things were not dealt with in the proper fashion. He's gone. Another very significant thing along that line is if this religious order called the Legionaries of Christ, whose founder, now deceased, has been accused quite credibly of a number of sexual disorders, and not much was done until Benedict became Pope, and then the investigation was pursued, and the man was removed from the priesthood, and a thorough investigation of the whole situation is going on. So I think that Pope Benedict does take this sort of thing very seriously.
Dr. James Hitchcock is professor of history at St. Louis University. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Okay, I wish it were a more pleasant subject.
As do I. Thank you. When we come back, we're going to talk about the recent death of the first Lutheran pastor in Haiti. Pastor Clint Poppy will be our guest.
Are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.